Open up our Bibles tonight to the 8th chapter of Revelation. And aren't you thankful for the grace of God that allows you to believe the Word? You know, I don't want this to be a story. I don't want this to be stories for you. This is the living Word of God. This is reality. This is truth throughout the Word of God. And really, just every fiber of my body is standing up right now. I love it. You know, you think about how pleased, as we read, of those that believed God in everything. God, time and time again, He shows us, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. The expectation of what was to come, God showed us so much, like with Noah, you know. Noah, I'm sure, testified to folks, told people, and they mocked him. You're a nut. What do you mean, rain? What is rain? It hadn't rained, but he was believing God for something that hadn't happened. Sound familiar? Come on. He witnessed, but he's a nut. Because, you know, this over 100 years he's been working on that thing. I haven't seen a lick of rain, whatever that is. And then it began to rain. Because God said, amen? Because God said. And what we're reading is because God has said. As a matter of fact, when we started way back in chapter 1, you think about what God said. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So again, read, hear, and keep. It's keepsake. It's the heart. It's the first love. It's just what it is. It's not something that, you know, okay, well, that's great, we're studying Revelation and we get to go through it again. No, this is just more encouragement of our revelation, which is every day. Revelation, which is in every part of the Word of God, because that's Paul's gospel. That's church age. Jesus is going to have a bride. Wants that to be you. Absolutely. He's called us to it, chosen us for it. Praise be to God as we've been encouraged. You said, I'll go. Contract's been signed. The wife hath made herself ready. All right? Now, I understand, not as though I've already attained or apprehended. I run. But I'm holding something I already have. Amen? Come on. I have it. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And I'm believing in that great grace and mercy that he will perform the good work which he hath begun. If I have any confidence in me to attain that, I won't. If everything's in him and that love just continues, which, why shouldn't it, huh, Bob? He's so lovely. He's so amazing. And as we study the Word of God, he just only grows more so to us, even though he is. That's what I am's all about. I am's am. But we love him. Praise God. So let's believe him. But I've been so encouraged in this 8th chapter. We started with the romance of silence. That's true romance, you know. When you're so dumbstruck in love and you can't say a word, that's love. Praise God. And then the reality of knowing this, the reality, as we said, of hearing and keeping these words in Revelation. Appreciated being encouraged last night by the brother who spoke at the get-together. Truly not seeing a scene, but seeing where you're at in the scene. And matter of fact, not even seeing it as a scene, seeing as that it's going forth and happening. Amen? Are you beginning to be seated with him in the midst of the throne? Have you looked out over the palm wavers? And not in any of, oh, this is great for me. No, just the glory of him. Lord, did you in your grace have me study these things, but I believed them that they were so. And not only believed him in first love keepsake, I expect it. Because your word is true. Because that's who he is. And I'll tell you what, when I get there, this is what I'm expecting. Amen? All right. You know, that kind of boldness of faith, it really chaps a lot of people's hides. I'm talking about Christians. But that's just the way it is. They didn't much like the Shulamite falling so in love with him. They're trying to just bring her down, get her distracted. And finally, they just had to finally just throw insults. You know, that's kind of where it gets down to. When no one has a answer. When they just don't want to understand and be defiant, they'll just start insulting. Even God's precious people. But may we read and know. And not just know them, and not just read it as an event, but truly the much the more. And as we get into this eighth chapter, by the grace of God, can you see yourself in the place of these angels? Honestly. I mean, to be there and to say, Lord, I looked for this day with you. I looked for this day with you. I looked for this moment with you. That you would be magnified and glorified in judgment. As this world has mocked you and spit upon my love. I looked and I waited with you. Thank you for doing it all. Thank you for the grace of God that somehow got through this hardness to have me believe you. And here we are. Are you there? Are you there? By the grace of God, let's get there. Amen. Glorified together with him. And tonight, the seven trumpets, the seven trumpet judgments. And this again happens right after the intro of the Antichrist. Right after those ones have been caught away, the bride. Right after there's been the announcement upon the earth, peace and plenty, peace and safety. And then what does the word God say? And then sudden destruction. And that sudden destruction are these seven trumpets that come forth. And how sudden it is. And let's go ahead and just read that first trumpet in the seventh verse. The first angel sounded. And remember, this really isn't a trumpet. You know that as we read last week, this is just the voice of that wonderful company, that wonderful bridal company that'll sound this alarm. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, you think about how many countries in this world today that have these things called nuclear bombs. I know we kind of think, and you know, we got North Korea, we got China, we got Russia, we got the United States. As a matter of fact, you know, we're the only ones that have kind of used one. It's okay. God knew it. But how about Pakistan and India and Iran? And I don't know them all, but et cetera, et cetera. And you know, it just takes one. Just one. And it's known that a nuclear bomb, and I appreciated a brother encouraging my heart in this and went back and studied a little bit on it. And it's just kind of interesting to know about what they do and about what John was seeing at that time. And let's do remember this, you know, John didn't know much about fission and fusion. Matter of fact, John was looking at events that once again that John was writing for us that wasn't for John. Yeah. He's writing those things for us. Amen. John will be ruling upon one of those thrones over the 12 tribes. But this bridal message, this precious message of Paul's gospel, the fullness of it was not meant for John. Even though he was used so instrumentally in the book of John and the gospels, 1, 2, and 3, that he wrote there, amazing. But We're thankful this is for us. So John, again, looking at these things, he doesn't know really what they are, and a lot of different meanings of that. But a nuclear bomb can create its own weather system. Very interesting. It creates this giant mushroom cloud that I'm sure we've seen pictures of, all of us. And in that mushroom cloud, and the way it got there is there's this giant sucking effect as it just, everything kind of implodes and goes up and shoots everything up, and that's what becomes that mushroom. Kind of interesting in that way. Well, one of the things that happens with a nuclear explosion, and this happened in Roswell, New Mexico, as they looked at that, is lightning comes out of those things. Believe it or not, because of the force and creating its little weather system, hail comes out of those things. Matter of fact, large hail. But not only hail, is when things are destroyed and smashed to little teeny pieces and sucked way up, it causes a hailstorm of shrapnel that is incredible. Why am I saying all of this? Well, as what we just read in the seventh verse, it says, hail and fire mingled with blood. And they say when that stuff is spewed out, whether it is literal hail or even the shrapnel, it's on fire because of the radiation, because of the things that have happened to it. And you talk about blood that would be mingled with all of that, because I'm sure it sucked up a lot of flesh too. It's pretty horrific to think about. But God puts it right here and he says, you better know about it and to understand what this is. But hail and fire rain down, scorched earth is the result. Blood so evident because it's going to be seen all around. And yeah, it says a third part of trees was burnt up and all the green grass was burnt up. When these things happen, when these weapons truly of mass destruction are used, as the word of God says, the prophet said, I saw the earth rock to and fro like a drunken man. And that could be a lot of different things, but I kind of tend to think that, you know, there hasn't been a weapon made by man that hasn't been used. I think these things are going to be used. I believe that the Lord gives us lots of these signs and types, and I think we're on the verge of it. Now, this again is to know what's to come forth. By the grace of God, this isn't a fearful thing. It's truly a joyous thing for those that are loving and looking for his appearing. But this is something that we need to recognize is going to come. But a third part of the vegetation dies, the trees. Can you imagine the famine that will begin to set forth? You think of the abundance that we have in food right now. We have so much food sometimes we just let it sit in bins and let rats eat it all. But at this time, things are going to get scorched. You talk about a warming. It's going to be a warming. And God's going to scorch this earth with it. And you can see how back in the sixth chapter of Revelation, that black horse, that second horse that's let go, that's that famine that comes forth. And you think again, from just one single bomb, how it could set off everything. You think of how one attack from one single country can throw the world into a war. World War I, World War II. It's kind of funny, in 1775, do you know there were two forces standing apart from each other at Lexington? And there was a thing called a shot that was heard around the world. Some goofy guy got a little giddy. Bang! And it set everything off. And what we got was called the Revolutionary War. Everybody was poised, though. Everybody was edgy. But somebody was just looking for the first punch. Who's going to throw it? Where are we right now? I think things are pretty edgy. I think our own country's pretty edgy, let's be honest. But see, man can't find peace. Man will never bring peace. Man will never bring rest. Man will never bring an answer. No man. But what's about to happen, because when we don't look to the Lord, the only thing you'll look to is man. And this world is going to go after a man. There's going to be this thought that that man's going to have all the answers. And that man's going to be empowered at the first. But then, as we're reading, you can't imagine the empowering that he's going to have because God's going to allow it. When you talk about demon-possessed, it's way beyond that. This is the devil's empowerment that will enter in, and there will be a force that goes through that will be absolutely something that the world has never seen. But in the same way, what we're speaking of here is it begins to expand in verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Now this is going to come forth. This is something that will be. And it says here, as if it were a great mountain. Now, lots of different ones have thought about this. They thought, well, could this be meteors? Nobody really knows definitely what God might use. But I believe as you look to the Word of God, the Lord talks in the Word that a mountain speaks of a kingdom. So a kingdom basically is sliding down or gets in this fiery mode to enter into this conflict and enter into this war. This war that was started, as we say, by somebody that, well, we got to shoot something off. It's time. It's being let go. So what follows is a great kingdom follows into this war. And a large force that enters into this beginning of wars. So this mountain of fire, it says, rains down more destruction, and particularly on the sea. Now, most likely, this great turmoil, as we look into the Word of God and with the prophets, is somewhere in the Middle East. A great possibility, even of this sea that it's speaking of, could it be somewhere in the Mediterranean? You know, there's a lot of ships that go around there. A lot of ships out in there right now. Matter of fact, from the United States of America, I believe the majority of our fleet, some way, shape, or form, is around, in a sense, in that area, more so than anywhere else. Reasons for that, isn't there? Just got to blame it all on the Jews. Isn't that what they do? Just blame it on them. They caused it all. No, God chose them. God chose them. They're God's earthly people. Isn't it awesome? Always remember that Jewish man. He never accepted Christ as Savior. But boy, what he could see just right at that threshold. He'd say, you know, I have a lot of atheist friends, and they try to tell me this God thing and that God thing. He says, I'll tell you what, until they explain Israel, I'll never believe there's not a God. He said, that alone. Why is it the Jew? Why is it Israel? Why is it always about that? Really, truly. Even in our politics, our system, and all that, it's amazing how it gravitates back over there, isn't it? Got to be God. Those are God's people. All right. That's just the Word of God. All right. So, we get this conflict, it's entering in, and we see that it's most likely over there, and it is, not most likely, it is. Daniel speaks of it over there in the Middle East, and these things start to flare up. They want to go out and attack Israel, but then as they're attacking Israel, it's like rats that are holding hands. They start attacking themselves. We're just going to attack everybody here. And so we just kind of get angry at everybody, huh? And this is kind of what goes on. And so in this destruction and in this turmoil, this sea speaks of the Gentile nation, sure, that are entering into this conflict. I get that. But as well, see, there's a lot of dual meaning, believe it or not, in all of these things. But I believe there's such horrific events, again, with nuclear capabilities that will be used even in the sea. And it was, again, encouraged in my heart and appreciated a brother mentioning this to me. But as it says, literally a third of the life within the sea is going to be destroyed. You can see what just happened recently when they had that leaking of radiation that was around Japan. Well, I'll tell you what, it messed up a lot of stuff. Hurt them fish and killed a lot of sea creatures and all. And we see when we get oil spills and different things of that nature, it kills the sea life and all. Well, can you imagine when they start setting off nuclear bombs in the water? Doesn't put it out. Matter of fact, it can be a catalyst to even make things worse. And then you think about, well, how do a third of the ships go down? Well, you shoot one of those things off in the water. You ever heard of a tsunami? Ever heard of like that ripple effect when you throw out a rock into that? Yeah. They might be docked. They might be kind of sitting out somewhere, and these waves just swallow them right up. A third of the fleet's gone. So these are, again, thoughts, but I think kind of godly thoughts. I think we're here, and we have these capabilities, and you think about man that would scoff at this. Well, how could this happen? Well, I'll tell you what. It's here. I thank God for the Apostle Paul. Because he just believed. And he just kept looking for the Lord to come. He didn't have to look at explanations. I know we talk about these things. And it's somewhat interesting. And I think it's prevalent. You know, it's evident. It's prevalent. There are things that we see coming forth. And he says, as you see these things begin to happen, these signs and types, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming. And I expect him at any time. I mean, as you see these things begin to come forth, I mean, my, oh my. It's exciting. You know, people are complaining about the election. I'm excited about the election. I've been excited about all these elections. Because you know what? It's coming. And it's coming faster and faster and faster. Because man does not have answers. And they're getting more desperate. And we're seeing a lot of things coming to pass. So look up. But then you have this amazing destruction, again, whether it's the earth, the trees, the plants, the water, the fish, the ships. And brothers and sisters, we haven't even entered into the depth of the tribulation yet. We haven't even gotten to the middle of the week. We haven't even approached the great battle of Armageddon. And yet, look at all of the destruction that's already rampant on the earth. Amen? And why would that not even be hard to believe with all of the destruction that's on the earth even right now? Those that are killed, the bombs that go off every day, children that are blown apart, and just horrific things. But the world hasn't seen anything yet. Verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Well, we got further destruction. Now we got the poisoning of the waters. And we got a significant thing that happened here. We got a star named Wormwood. So let's go on over to Jeremiah chapter 9. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we could spend lots of time in the Old Testament going through a lot of these things. And I do encourage you, you know, search these things to see that they are so. It's a good thing to do. But in Jeremiah, in the 9th chapter, in verses, let's go verse 13 there, it says, and the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart. Why, that was like the description of our world right now, is it not? Amen? Okay, see? And after Balaam, which their fathers taught them, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. Wormwood is a bitter root. Wormwood oftentimes would affect waters and make them bitter. And I'll tell you what, this wormwood that we have here from God will not only make waters bitter, but it's going to make it lethal. It's going to kill. And there's many things, again, in double meaning that we have. You think of the winds of doctrine that are out right now. and the apostasy that's on the earth. Again, we haven't seen anything yet. I thank the Lord because, see, we're in a precious time. We're in the bridal time. But when that time shall be no more, when she is taken, I'll tell you, you talk about the beginning of darkness. It's going to really begin to get dark quick. You know, we enter into that time. We enter into those watches, you know. So she's taken, and then we get right into that evening watch, and boom, you know, here we go, right into the night. That's what that's about. See, as the Word of God tells us about the bride, that she's hindering something from going forth. And what she's hindering is until she's taken out of the way, the tribulation won't begin. So there is such an abundance and an amazing divine grace that is so present upon this earth at this time. And here it is. Here it is. The riches of His glory. Here it is. I know when we look at one another, we're not seeing much. But you know those hidden things, they belong to God, huh? She's shut up away to Him. The world can't appreciate it. They don't understand. What do they do to Jesus? If they knew, if you knew. But yet the Word of God said they had eyes and they see not, and they had ears and they heard not. Yeah. But they can't see this. You have to have enlightened eyes of understanding to see this. But see, this wormwood will be a continuation of poisonous doctrines, yes. It will be an advancement of evil apostasy that will wax worse and worse. And yet I believe that in context with what we've been reading of these calamity of judgments, that there will be more effect even upon our waters from these weapons that we have today. Much like the proof that we've already seen many times over of leaking of waters from nuclear power plants. How about Chernobyl? In that place, you still even wouldn't walk there today. It contaminates things. Even in the United States, we've had leaks and different things where people have died suddenly, died over time. There's horrible things that happen from these destructive weapons. So again, we've seen the effects on the land, the effects on the water, and the effects on the sea. It's going to be a big effect. And we still even haven't gotten to the middle of the week. All right? So let's go on to verses 12 and 13, the fourth trumpet. So the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So once again, we're just about to the midway point of these trumpet judgments. But there's still more to go. Now, with this here, as it's talking about the third part of the sun smitten and the moon and all of these different things, we kind of got a glimpse of this in many different ways from volcanoes and all. But I always thought, I remembered, if you remember back when, was it Saddam Hussein went down into Kuwait? Remember that Gulf War? They got him to go out of there, but before he went out of there, he set all of those wells on fire. And that smoke and that darkness and that came through there, it blocked out the sun. It blocked out the moon. It blocked out everything. And it blocked it out for days. As a matter of fact, even weeks, they couldn't see the sun. There were things that were starting to affect the sky, affect the land very quickly. But that's the effects of these beginnings of wars and sorrows. They'll have the same effect. There's a thing called a nuclear winter when bombs go off that are nuclear bombs. They saw it, in a sense, in Japan, how weather changes, crops change. Matter of fact, they die. And that was a very small bomb compared to the technology that we have today. Again, this isn't a scary thing. This is just a factual thing. And it's coming to pass. And that's why, you know, not only would we not want anybody to miss salvation, My goodness, you don't want anybody to miss the bride. Amen? Especially when you're talking to Christians. It's all right. If they throw you out of the room, that's probably a good thing. You probably have a stand. But when you just kind of guppy along, you know, you got to be that upstream swimmer and go. Got to jump, jump, jump. Praise God. And that's how it is. But we understand as well, too, it's going to be a darkening time for the Word of God, because at this time, the Word of God is going to be almost extinct at this moment upon the earth. There's just going to be little bits and pockets of it, as we're going to see here going into the ninth chapter. But it's going to be a very, very rampant time of unrighteousness, of ungodliness, of apostasy. And God is showing us the ramp up right now. God's showing us that even in our country, the things that and the steps that we're making as a people to truly prevent preaching the word, giving out the word of God, being able to pray, all of these different things. Everything is okay, but anything that really is with the word of God is offensive. Yeah. He came and he turned it upside down, didn't he? Jesus turned it upside down. See, neutral you cannot be. You just can't. You're either going to love him or you're going to hate him. And you're either going to be for me or you're going to be against me. You're either going to walk with me or you're going to walk with mammon. That's it. There's no tweener. You can't. There's no tweener here. It's either you're going to go or you're not going to go. So here we arrive at chapter 9. We'll touch into this just for a bit tonight. And I think this is something that is so sweet. This ninth chapter and this fourth seal that we get, or this, I should say, this fifth seal that we get to, gives us so much perspective to all of the other seals as far as the timing, the events, and the meaning. So let's go ahead and read the first 12 verses of the ninth chapter. And it says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth." Now, listen about this star. It's not just has a name, Wormwood. "And to him," this star, "and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth." Now remember, as I just mentioned, this star was different because this star, matter of fact, is a he. And now we're going to read about this grass, or any green thing, is something different, or a tree. Because we're going to read here in this fourth verse something very special about this green and this tree. So let's go back and read verse 4 again. "And it was commanded unto them," these locusts that are like scorpions, "that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men." So we're talking about men here, aren't we? "Which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." So there's something God's laying down very clearly here. You scorpion locusts, or you locust scorpions, you can go out there and you're going to cause some major, major pain to hurt. But it's not going to be on those that have the seal of God. So we know, here's what we know, that we have God's precious people on the earth at this time. All right? "And to them it was given that they should not kill them." So they couldn't kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. "And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death." Listen to this. "And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." It's like a hell getting them ready for hell. They think they're seeing hell now. You haven't seen nothing like the lake of fire. The extremes of God. Think about it. Really. The extreme for the bride. and the extreme for the sinner. It's an extreme. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. So here we go. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. And in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. It's getting exciting, isn't it? Yes, it is. Well, to touch on this just a bit before we go. First off, this event tells us exactly where we are as far as in the tribulation. And I'd like you to go over the reason that we know this is go over to the 12th chapter. This is important. I know it's kind of towards the end of our study tonight, but say, Jesus, wake me up just for these last few minutes. So in this 12th chapter, and in the 7th verse, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. See, the enemy, day and night, accuses the brethren. And he does it in the presence of God. You'd say, well, why is that? Well, it's to magnify our Lord, our advocate. Praise God. And this is God's plan. Nothing's out of sort. Don't get ahead of anything here. But the dragon, this is the devil, fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And again, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's the star that has just fallen. That is this one that is given this key to the bottomless pit. This is the devil himself. And here we are. In this 9th chapter, which is also explained there in the 12th chapter, it's the same scene. We are 250 days from the middle of the tribulation. And yet we've had all of this destruction thus far. And we still haven't yet seen the devil completely unleashed with his great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. You read that in Revelation 12:12. So this fullness of this satanic force, in the fullness of this roaring lion, now, with all of that destruction we've already read about, now it's on. Now comes this time that is horrific. Now, the other reason we know that this is the devil, if you go back to Isaiah 14, this is really amazing. And God help us to be encouraged. Pride is such an ugly thing. Chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. A lot of eyes in there. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And here he goes. And he's given this key, isn't he? See, the Lord appoints the wicked for the day of evil. Know that the Lord, there be no power but of him and from him. And notice again, God has to give him, as we read in that, he was given the key of the bottomless pit. See, God has to give him anything, any ability to do anything. Just like with Job, he said, have you noticed my servant Job? He's an idiot. God's pawn. But without us looking to the Lord, there's no way we could stand against it. So, this enabling God gives to the devil. And it is just to bring forth what God, again, will be magnified and glorified in. This is the judgment. See, the devil's so stupid, he still thinks he can maybe win something here. But then finally in 12:12, but he knows he got a short time. Yeah. So now think of the horror that comes from that pit. The sin so thick, vile, literally blocks any light. It's a time virtually of complete darkness. That smoke in verse 2 of chapter 9 that comes out of the pit. A smoke of a great furnace. We saw the furnace. I was thinking about the Hebrew children. You think about when they were thrown into that furnace. And remember how I talked about the smoke and the smell and all of that? And yet, that fourth one that was in there, they came out. Clothes weren't burned. There wasn't a hair of their head touched. And they didn't even smell like smoke. I was in that kitchen last night with that good chicken. It was kind of smoky, and I smelled like smoke in the car. So, that was a good smell, though, brother. I'll give you that. Amen. It's good food. But see, you got those locusts that come forth, too. But they're not just locusts. They're scorpion locusts. They have an ability to kill. But notice, as it tells us where we are in Revelation 12, see, the 144,000 are still on the earth at this time. That last part of the church hasn't been raptured. And we'll go over here and read about that real quick. See, you also have the saints under the altar, those that become believers during the tribulation, and they're killed. And then you have ones that give their heart to the Lord after, that get saved after the innumerable multitude is taken up. And some of those will die. Some of those will be the saints under the altar. But then some of those will live all the way through the tribulation and become the earth dwellers into the millennium. Isn't that something? But they have to go through this. They go through this. Amazing grace. Amen. So I want you to think about this. Again, such a vicious and a horrible time. But think about how we began too. Remember in chapter 8, remember how it says that here came Jesus and he came and offered all the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne? Well, I'll tell you what, there were a lot of prayers that are going up at this time. A lot of prayer. Oh, Jesus. And the word's true. And I believe my brothers and sisters at this time, they'll sure be looking to the word of God. And it will be their hope and their salvation. And they'll know. Amen? See, he never leaves us without knowing. He doesn't. It's all there. So even at this time, you think of the great grace that they can look to the word of God and still abound in hope. That, Lord, you're coming. That, Lord, this is going to be done. This is going to be put forth. I believe in that. I do. I believe the word of God because it endures forever. Amen? Revelation 12, as we close up, just to kind of think about what we were just talking about with the 144,000. And remember, as it said, that those locusts, those scorpion locusts come out, and they can kill and everything, but they can't hurt those that have not received, or I should say, that are sealed with the Lord, but have not received the mark of the beast. See, those are the ones that God says, you're not going to hurt them. There's going to be some sorrow, there's going to be some pain, but you're not going to hurt them, you're not going to kill them. And here in Revelation 12, we see what happens. Okay, so we just read in verse 7 through 9 about how Satan was cast out of heaven. There was that great battle, he was cast out. He's cast out of heaven because God has a purpose for it. I'm going to give you the key to the bottomless pit. And so if we jump over to verse 12, here's what happens. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows he hath but a short time before he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And when the dragon, well, I should say he's going to go in the bottomless pit first. But, and when the dragon saw that he was cast upon the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Remember, we read that in chapter 7? About that wonderful, that was 144,000 that would be born out of the church, the woman being the church. So that's 144,000, the man-child. So he's coming down, he really wants to destroy them. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So we're talking about 1,260 days, that's almost 3.5 years. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Devil's always mad at the church. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So again, it's so true and it's so perfect. Devil can't get to him. He wants to. He's going to be there. And we see, again, this tells us where this timing is of this ninth chapter and this fifth trumpet. We haven't even still gotten to yet the middle of the tribulation. We're right there upon the cusp, because the 144,000 are raptured right at the time of the middle of the tribulation. And then at that time is when the great tribulation begins, which is the last 3.5 years of the 7 years. So it's amazing, all of that destruction and all of these things that happen up until that point of where we're at in this. So this detail of this description, it's amazing. And God willing, we'll go into more of looking at next week and getting into this fifth seal and the fifth trump and even the sixth trump as well too. But the devil's going to have quite a war machine. Oh, it's going to be a brutal thing. We're going to see next week that we have an assembling of 200 million soldiers down in that valley, down in that area of the Middle East, in Iran, there down into Syria. And you can see them, how they're coming. I don't know how many tens of thousands are there now, but they're kind of scouting out the land. We can get 200 million down in here. You just watch. God will bring them in there. People would say, oh, come on. Oh, yeah. And again, I always loved how China so proudly announced and ignorantly, a little over a year ago, they had met the number. They've met the number of a readied army of 200 million. I wonder where they got that number. Are we awake? Amen. Really, are we awake for this? I pray we are. Because it's here. And God is just so many different ways. Honey, wake up, wake up, wake up. And sometimes, you know, if you got to get rattled a little bit. It's like, whoa, yeah, I don't want to be here. No. Those are the fringe benefits. Because the only benefit, praise God, is to be face to face with Him. I'm looking for that time of silence. How about you? Amen. Praise God. Love you. Let's stand and be dismissed.